gates with thanks, into his courts with praise. Bring him a shout of joy, sing of his endless fame. For the Lord is good, and his love endures, and his love endures forever. We remember this, we remember this. Oh, how good that it is. Stands in awe of the one who was, and the one who is, and the one who reigns forever. We remember this, we remember this. Oh, how good that it is to sing praise to the Lord. Oh, how great is the name.
Come on, give him a shout of praise. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? Say, he won't. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? He won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. Come on, declare it. I won't be going under, no. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus. Sing it out. And he's faithful in every single faithful Lord, and so why would he fail? Sing it loud.
He won't, yeah. He won't,
no, and he never will.
He won't fail.
We believe it to be true. You've proven yourself to be faithful, God. Meeting every need, God. This is our heart this morning.
The rain came and went, blew, but my house was built on you. And I'm safe.
Sing it out. Make this your declaration.
He won't fail. He won't fail. No, he
amazing.
Chance, Lord, but the Word became flesh and gave us the hope. This is our heart this morning.
Oh, my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do.
got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is a
but I'm nothing else fit for my King. It's
except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
These are our voices, Lord. Let us pray together. We simply say hallelujah. Hallelujah to the King. Hallelujah to our Lord, who was and is and forever will be. Our hearts are full of thanksgiving for your grace, your love, your life in us, the joy, the unspeakable joy that we get to share with a world in chaos and lonely. You have come, Jesus, to set us free. And we celebrate this Christmas season as we prepare our hearts for the coming King. We love you and we pray this, Jesus, in your precious and mighty name. And the church said, amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Welcome to Bridge Church. Whether you're here in person or online, we're so glad that you're joining us today. If you're new to the Bridge, look in the seat back pocket in front of you and fill out the Connect card. You can turn it in to the Connect Center or any of the black boxes located around the church, or use your smartphone to capture the QR code on the back of the seat in front of you. Keep your eye on the screen for a preview of what's happening at the Bridge.
Are you new to Bridge Church or ready to formally make this your church home? If so, make plans to attend our Bridge Life membership class on Sunday, December 7th during second service in the family room. You will get to hear from our lead pastors, Jimmy and Annette Pruitt, and learn about the history, vision, and direction of the Bridge. Brunch will be provided, so sign up today at the Connect Center or at bridgefbg.com.
You were invited to a special evening of worship and prayer on Sunday, December 14th, 6 p.m. During this Christmas season, we recognize that this time can be especially challenging for many families. Our focus will be lifting up in prayer the prodigals in our lives, asking God to bring them home. Please join us for this meaningful time together.
Hey families, this Christmas season, take some time to slow down and reflect on what it's really all about. Join us Saturday, December 6th from 10 a.m. to noon for a fun morning together. You'll get to hear the story of Jesus' birth, make your own nativity scene, and even stop by our Christmas bakery. It's going to be a sweet and meaningful time for the whole family. We can't wait to see you there.
Good morning, Bridge Church. Let me hear a shout of praise if you're blessed to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Woo!
Yeah. I'm Brian Haley. I'm on the pastoral staff here, youth pastor at Bridge Church, and it is a blessing always to be here in the Lord's house. We want to give you a warm welcome if you're a first-time guest with us this morning. We would love to connect with you. We have, yes, our Connect cards. You can turn those in, even if you want to do that at the Connect Center after the service. There is an opportunity to do that. That way, we can reach back out to you. Also, we'll have our pastors standing out in the foyer after this service, greeting you. We want to get to know you, hear a bit of your story, and how you came to Bridge Church. We also want to greet those of you who are with us online this morning. We average about 300 people joining us from anywhere from this community to across the world on a Sunday morning. And thank you. Thank you for choosing to make this your place of worship this morning. We hope to meet you in person, as we have many of you who began online. I want to make a reminder. We've been announcing over the last few weeks our Harvest Project special event this Saturday. After you've warmed up your cup and your belly at the Bridge Kids Advent event in the morning, we want to invite you to this Saturday evening, 6 o'clock at Marketplace. See yourself there. We're going to have a huge celebration with the greatest story ever told, second year in a row. This is an opportunity for you to bring friends, yourself, bring your family. Even as you're there at Marketplace, invite other people that you see to come and hear the greatest story story ever told. Christ come to this earth to bring us salvation. Last year was amazing. We saw lots of guests just join us from Market Plots that were walking by, that were hearing the beautiful music by Project Revelation 1211. I want to get the numbers right. Revelation 1211. They did a great job. They'll be here with us again from Austin. This is our time, guys. Now, what did you see yourself there? Sorry. Before we transition, if you don't see yourself there, you'll forget. So see yourself there at Market Plots with your friends and family. This is our time now to celebrate at the Lord's table. We are a church that celebrates open communion. So if you're visiting us from another congregation and you are a follower of Christ alone as Savior, please join us. If you did not get the elements as you came in, there are some ushers that are ready to pass those out to you. If you'll just raise your hand, we'll get those to you. Well, last week we had a very interesting illustration on the screen behind me here of a Norman Rockwell Thanksgiving, and we also had a chaotic Thanksgiving scenes. Each one of you can identify with one of those wherever you were for Thanksgiving. So maybe some of you can identify with both. Maybe you had some of your Thanksgiving that was beautiful and peaceful and celebrating with family, and then another part where it got a little chaotic, it got crazy and out of line. But we're here this morning to gather not only our blood family, but together as those who have been purchased with the blood of Christ, those of us that have been made new. And I would like to take us to the scene of that first, we call it the Last Supper, that first one where Jesus celebrates and connects the Passover to his own sacrifice. From 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 25, Paul reminds us that Jesus said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Notice at the beginning of that scripture, it says, on the night Jesus was betrayed. Then we read immediately after giving thanks. Jesus was giving thanks as he was walking into the right straight, fully into the biggest suffering of all of creation, all of human history. He was about to walk through that, but he chose to lift up the bread and to lift up the cup and give thanks. How many of you come from a tradition where you know the word Eucharist? Anyone have that as a part of their vocabulary? Eucharist comes from a Greek word, ευχαριστώ, or ευχαριστώ is the common Greek word now for thank you. But this word originally meant an action of thanks, giving thanks. I love that name because that's what we are here to do. We've been celebrating Thanksgiving, giving of thanks, and we're going to do that now. Some of you are giving thanks out of a heart of gratitude for the great things that have happened. But some of us are going to be giving thanks, trusting that as we walk through the difficulty that God is calling us to with currently broken family relationships, that we're trusting for God's reconciliation. We're trusting for God's resurrection, where all we saw was a relationship that was dead, where we saw a life or a soul that felt like it was dead. God is ready to bring a new life because of what we celebrate here, the body and the blood of Jesus. If you'll take your elements and pull out the bread there. Family, the body of Christ, broken for you and for me. In the cup, Christ's blood shed for the removal, the remission of our sin. Father, we give thanks. We give thanks because not because everything's going great. We give thanks because you have already paved the way for everything to be made new. We know that Jesus Christ is coming back for his own. He's coming back to save us. He's coming back to redeem us. He's coming back to make us new with a new body that will never grow old or fail. He's also coming back to make this world new. And Lord, in the meantime, we continue to give thanks. We're ready to walk through whatever you call us to walk through, knowing that you're choosing to make us new from even right now as a sign of what is to come. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church, now we're going to go ahead and move to our time of giving. What an amazing time. God is so good, so generous with us. I wanted to say your generosity is blessing not only our community, not only our church. It's not only allowing us as staff to continue raising up the next generation and to raise up servants in this church, but we often have a slide back here that shows ministries all over the world that are being blessed by what you are being faithful to give. I want to read a scripture here, and I put some of it on the screen. Some of it is not, but we're going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows graciously will also reap generously. Verse 7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. He loves what kind of a giver? A cheerful giver. Verse 8, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you abound in everything, every good work. Sorry, you abound in what kind of things? Good works. Our giving, he pours back into us so that then we can serve him with the good works that he empowers us to do by his Holy Spirit. Verse 9, and it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest, the harvest of your righteousness. So yes, God's going to give you more seed and more harvest of righteousness, of his right acts. Last verse, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. As we trust God and we return to him the first portion of what we receive, which is rightly his, we trust him that he is going to produce a harvest of righteousness, a harvest that makes a difference in our community, that makes a difference in our family, that makes a difference in the world around us. And what is the result going to be? It is going to be Eucharist. Eucharisteo. It's going to be the result of thanksgiving to God, which is where this is all headed. So as we get ready to give, if you will stand to your feet, and we're going to give thanks to God for his generosity as we entrust him with what is his. God, we thank you. Thank you so much for the way that you provide so generously for our needs. And Lord, whether we're in a time where it seems we're of want or we're in a time of great harvest in our finances, Lord, this morning, we choose to trust you with what is rightly yours. We offer back the best, the first portion. And Lord, anywhere that you have chosen to move in our hearts to be generous, even beyond that, Lord, we give that to you, trusting that it will bring a harvest of righteousness and of thanksgiving. Lord, we love you, we honor you, we bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Around the room, we have boxes where you can place those offerings at any time during the service, and it is time for you to greet your neighbor.
All right. Good morning. Welcome you back to your seats. It's a polite way of saying go ahead and get back to your seats. It's good to see everybody and happy Thanksgiving. I hope you had a great time. We had two for the price of one. We got to celebrate with friends from our church, which we had a wonderful time on Thursday. And then on Friday, our kids came over, Faith and Brandon, that live here and work here and serve here. And so we got to double dip this year. It was a great time. And then, of course, got on the phone, talked to other kids, texting other kids. I mean, that's kind of the way, that's the language of the day, isn't it? And wishing them a happy Thanksgiving, and so appreciate Pastor Brian today leading us in communion. Well done, and I hope you encourage that. I want to, we're going to take a moment and pray, so I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet again since you're sitting, and we're going to go through, we want to pray for our country. We want to continue. Been keeping up with the news. Actually, this morning it was kind of fun leaning over to Annette as we were driving in going, is there anything I need to know? Did anything happen that I need to know today, this morning? Because, you know, you never know. Things are happening so fast, and sometimes it's hard to keep up with it. But what we can do is we can pray. We can always pray, no matter what's happening, and lift up our nation, but also lift up what's going on around the world. Amen? You know, this season, as we lean into, you know, as we've just passed Thanksgiving, but now we're going to be moving into the Christmas season, which is a great season for most, but for some, it can be a very difficult time. And we recognize that, and we hear you, we see you. And so never mistake our celebration for diminishing whatever pain or grief you're experiencing at this time. And I hope today's message is going to be an encouragement to you on that, but also as looking forward to Jesus himself, the birth, and celebrating who he is. So let's make this season about the reason. Amen. And the reason is that Jesus Christ came to this earth. So would you bow your heads and pray as we get started? Father, what a privilege it is to be before you. And even now, Lord, we lift up Jerusalem. Your word, you tell us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So even in this moment, we pray and we ask, God, that you would cover the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. Father, our prayer for them is that they would come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, as Messiah, as Lord. And so we lift them up and pray, Father, for evangelistic efforts and all that's happening, that the good news of Jesus Christ would go across the land and go through all of the East, Lord, that you would blanket nations with the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for our own nation. Lord, if we spend 5 minutes on a news feed, it can just wreck us. It can take us down the rabbit hole. And I'm asking for grace, for wisdom to navigate well what we see, what we hear, what we perceive. And always know there's a bigger and deeper and sometimes different story coming at us. So give us wisdom to, like the sons of Issachar, the men of Issachar, give us the wisdom to discern the times and know what to do just as they did. And so we do pray for our nation. We pray for peace, shalom over the nation of the United States of America, Father. We pray, Father, even as we enter into this 250th year of celebration of as a nation, that, Father, that would be a rally cry, that pain points won't be the rally cry, war won't be the rally cry, but a celebration of the United States would be our rally cry to come together and to give thanks for 250 years as a nation, and that this would indeed be a tipping point, a break point for us in a positive and godly direction, Lord, as truth, justice, and godly righteousness prevail across our land. We do pray for our president, Donald Trump. Pray for his family. Pray for his cabinet, for protection around them. Continue to cover them. And Father, we now turn our attention to your word, and we ask that today would not just be a hologos, a written word, but it would be a rhema word, a God-breathed word by your Holy Spirit into our hearts and into our spirits. Lord, when Jesus was with his disciples, he said, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And God's people said,
Amen. You can be seated. You notice I mixed up the thys and the yous. It's because I haven't been here in 2 weeks. So when I pray the Lord's Prayer, which is every day multiple times, I don't go Elizabethan English. So I apologize for the stumble there. And thank you for the correction. You did great. Today, we're going to shift gears. We're going to talk about this issue of delay or destiny. Delay or destiny. We talked about it 2 weeks ago, and Pastor Brian came in and swung for the fence with the Hunger Games, and I hope we don't have any Costco Christians here. He did a great job, fantastic. But this is part two, because I felt like as we stepped into that space, the response that I got back from many of you was, this is something we need to talk about. We need to, especially as we are heading into the Christmas season, where some of us have friends that are away from the Lord. We have children that have gone away from the Lord, adult children who've walked away. We have grandchildren who have walked away, and I shared a little bit about our grandkids. And right now, overall, our family's in a really good place, and we have much to be thankful for. But there are two in particular that continue to be a prayer point for us. I think I've got my word for 2026. Every year I do my one word. I usually take December to try to land on that, but I think I'm already there, but I'll save it for another time. So we'll talk about it another time. But it has to do with what we want to do in terms of praying for our family to return, the prodigals to come back. Now, is it the 14th? Did I get that right? On the 14th, that evening, 6 o'clock, right here, we're going to have a special worship night. We're inviting you to come out, bring your friends, your family, and what we're going to do, we're going to spend time, we're going to turn the music up a little bit, we're going to have a good time and worship, but we're really, our heart is to go vertical in our worship. A lot of times, I know in worship, you sing songs, and you may or may not recognize the difference, but sometimes we're singing about God. We're talking to each other about his goodness. We're singing about his greatness. We're singing about his majesty. But there are other times when we're singing to him specifically. Like gratitude is a song, it's quite vertical, where we're talking to him, we're singing to him. And that night, we're going to spend the entire evening going vertical. But here's why. We want to make that night about the prodigals in our lives, the prodigals in our families. And we want to take time to pray for them and seek the Lord and ask the Lord to bring them to their senses. You know the prodigal son's story. The Bible says that he came to his senses. And when he did, it was literally he had an awakening. And we want to pray for our prodigals that they'll have awakening. And I am believing for and praying for miracles that night, that something will get released. You know, when we pray, we literally move things. We start systems. We turn things on in the realm of the heavenly realm and the spiritual realm. Don't ever think that your prayers aren't getting above the ceiling. You're actually moving things when you pray. So we want to take time to pray and stand for our families and for our prodigals and our friends that have gone astray. Does that sound like a good idea to you? Amen. Plan on being there the 14th. We're not going to do a lot of Christmas music that night. In fact, none. We're going to actually, we want to go to the throne and be before the throne room of God. As he says, come boldly before the throne of grace. Today's subtitle for the message is this: it's living in God's timing, not our own. Living in God's timing, not our own. And so I just want to start with the points, because all of us have been living in the in-between and the not right now. I talked about this 2 weeks ago, how sometimes God's prayers aren't no, it's just not now. And a lot of us are living in the not now. And we're wondering what's going on. And I felt like we needed to go a little deeper with this of why are these things happening and what does it mean for us when we find ourselves in delay? We find ourselves, we don't do well waiting. I don't know about you, but there's nothing worse than going to a doctor's office and your appointment's at 2 o'clock and they want you there 15 minutes early so you can fill out your little paperwork, and you get there early and then you don't see them till 3 o'clock. Now, I don't know about you, but I can only sit on my phone for so long after a while, and magazines have disappeared in doctor's offices because everybody's on their phone. So, you know, there's nothing good to read now. No people magazines, you know, no stuff with great information and news, you know. So you just have, you're relegated to your phone, but we don't wait well. Part of what we love about living in Fredericksburg, Texas, is we don't have to wait in traffic anymore. except on the Maine on the weekends. But how many of you avoid Maine on the weekends? We all have our routes, right? We've learned. We've learned how to navigate and get around and go around, and we figured out other ways to get there. But we don't do well. So whenever we drive to Austin or we drive to San Antonio or if we travel and we're driving in Nashville, whatever, I don't do well waiting. I just feel like my life is being wasted. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, gosh, I've just lost an hour of my life. I just lost 2 hours of my life. When we lived in Nashville, Annette had about an hour drive, if the traffic was decent, to her work, and mine varied from an hour 15 to 20 minutes, depending on traffic and depending on the construction on the I-65 in Nashville. And there were times when I just would lose my mind. And eventually, and finally, at one point, I began to just turn that into a prayer and worship time. And you know what? My commute I had a Camry at the time. I turned my Camry into a cathedral and actually began to maximize and enjoy the time. But I'm telling you, when we moved to Fredericksburg, we felt like we had moved to heaven because there was no more waiting in line. And you know you're local and you've lived here a long time when you're getting frustrated at the traffic in Fredericksburg. You know what I'm saying? It's all relative, right? But we don't wait well. Listen to this. How do we wait? Well, number one, we wait with the right posture. We wait with the right posture. I'm talking about when you've been praying, you've been seeking God, you've been leaning in, and nothing is happening. And I have had those days when I felt like my prayers were bouncing off my ceiling. It just felt like nothing was getting through. And have you ever been praying and just thought, is this really matter? Is this really working? Sometimes we grow weary while doing well. The scripture says don't grow weary while doing good. And we do. We get tired. And we wonder if our prayers are even working. And sometimes we get disillusioned and we grow discouraged and we just completely back off. And then what happens? The guilt comes. The shame comes. The angst comes. But we had to wait with the right posture. Psalm 27:14. The word posture, by the way, all that means is position. It's how you wait. It's the way, are you in a posture of resting? Are you in a posture of believing and expecting? Or are you in a posture of anxiety and discouragement? Psalms 27:14 says this, wait for the Lord. Can y'all say that with me? Wait for the Lord. We could probably stop there, go home or go eat, right? We just, okay, there it is. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Be strong. I love the idea of the great cloud of witnesses in heaven. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And I always get the idea of running into an Olympic stadium and seeing a crowd waiting for you. Now, I used to race bicycles. Back in the day, I did road racing. I did all kinds. We'd do 30 milers. We'd do 50 milers. We'd do 100K, which is 62 miles. And just depending on the race and the ride, you know, it varied in different lengths. There was a century, it's 100 miles. I used to ride, pardon my French, the Hotter Than Hell 100 in Wichita Falls. And so riding was a big deal, but I'll never forget coming across the line at the Hotter Than Hell 100 in Wichita Falls. There's not a lot in Wichita Falls, but there is a lot of wind, and it is hotter than hell in August. And I knew that because that's when they run the race. That's why it's called that. And that year that I rode, my brother rode with me, there were 15,000 riders. 15,000. Can you imagine 15,000 bicycles on a country road outside of Wichita Falls, wind blowing about 60 miles an hour and it being about 98 degrees? And that was it. It's a big event. It's a huge thing. And we were out there. We rode. My brother, he got heat stroke, fell over in a ditch. They had to take him in a car. They had a truck. And they had a trailer on it piled up with bicycles who were just falling like flies. I mean, everything. I went ahead and rode on in. But it was a rough ride for him. But I'll never forget coming over the line. I mean, I'm not. At that time, I wasn't competing. I was just trying to ride the ride and have fun with my brother. And as I'm riding in, you turn the corner down this main street in Wichita Falls, and there are thousands and thousands of people waiting for you. And as you come in towards the line, I got to say, your adrenaline gets up a little bit because there's all these people cheering for you. So you feel like, man, I might as well finish strong. And you stand up in your pedals and you just sprint for the finish. And, you know, it's not quite the Olympics, but it feels like it. And can you imagine this cloud of witnesses watching you today, knowing you, knowing your heart, knowing your discouragement, knowing your disillusionment, knowing your weariness, your exhaustion, knowing that you're tired. And they've already crossed the finish line, and now they're filling the stands. I remember when Steve Maxwell was with us, and he talked about when he had his end-of-life experience, and he died for 16 minutes and went over the line and got a glimpse into what we call heaven or eternity. And he said he got to see the great cloud of witnesses. He described it just like I described it, like a massive stadium filled with hundreds of thousands of people, and they're cheering. And they're cheering for you. And somebody here today needs to hear this. You're being cheered for. And I remember Steve saying, I want to know everything. I'm like, what are they saying? You know, what do they look like? You know, I want to know. What did Jesus look like when you saw him? I want to know everything. And he said, they're saying, you can do it. You've got this. Don't give up. Don't quit. And they're cheering. Go, go, go. In this sense of being cheered over the line, being pulled over the line. And I know my little experience in Wichita Falls probably didn't compare to anything that we're going to see when we see him. But even now, today, right where you are, you know, we've got the, you know, the tryptophan coma. You know, we've come over the line with Thanksgiving, and you know, there's not a lot of energy on this weekend usually because of that, and we've been out or we've been with family. We've got a lot of people traveling. And there's a sense of coming in and just kind of feeling weary or carb loaded, one or the other, or both. And we just come in tired, and yet there's a crowd cheering for you right now. And they're cheering for you and saying, you've got this. You can do it. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And we're going to see why we're supposed to wait for him. Here's a couple of points. Listen to this. In Psalm 27:14, the word wait, where it says wait for the Lord, this is what it means. It translates the Hebrew verb kavah, chava, which means to wait with expectant hope, to look eagerly for, or to place confident trust in someone. When I was a kid, my dad was a firefighter, and I remember he worked weird shifts. He would be on 12, and he'd be off 48. Or he'd be on 24, off 48. That's what his shifts were. And so as a kid, I didn't always know when he was going to come home. And I didn't know what time. I knew he would finish his shift at 6 o'clock, so I figured he'd be home sometime. But sometimes I would be in the living room on the couch I wasn't supposed to be on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Back then, we had two living rooms, and we had a couch. Now, my granny's had vinyl on hers, but not mom's. So you could get on granny's couch, but not on mama's, because there was no vinyl. It was crushed velour, and it was the couch you weren't supposed to sit on, and the room you were never supposed to be in. And so I would wait by the big window, and I'd be waiting for my dad to drive up. I would be in this posture of expectation, just like what this says, to wait with expectant hope. I was hoping to see him come around the corner, to look eagerly for, or to place confident trust in someone. And you know what? There was something that would happen when my dad would round the corner, and I'd see him drive up in his pickup, and I knew he'd been coming off of a shift. And he was usually pretty tired, but I could not wait. And my brother and I would run out to the truck and meet him. We were waiting. We were in this kavah. It's not a passive killing time, but an active, faith-filled hoping or expectation in the Lord's character and promised help. The Lord has made promises, family, and he will make good on his promises. But like our subtitle says, not in our time, but in his timing. Waiting is active trust, not passivity or passive indifference. In other words, we're not just bored. We're not just checking our phones. I'm telling you, we have lost the art of being bored and being okay with it. Annette and I were laughing about, we had our kids come over for Thanksgiving, and we ate, we were full, we were tired, we sat down in the living room, and everybody was on a screen. And I thought, wow, this is family quality time right here. You know, this is what we do. And I just laughed about it and laughed it off. But I don't want to live the rest of my life looking down at my phone. Do you? You ever catch yourself doing it and go, what am I doing? I'm just in this killing time mode. But waiting is active trust. It's expectation. It's believing that God is going to come through. And it's understanding your history in God. Every cumulative experience you've had in the Lord, every answered prayer, every deliverance, every moment of freedom that you've experienced, every breakthrough that's happened in your life becomes part of your history in God. To where now, when you get to a place that doesn't look so good, you can say, you know what? We've been here before. Annette and I have had this conversation. We've been in this situation before, and God was faithful then, and he's going to be faithful today, but we have to wait. I always joke and say, hurry up and wait. That's all you can do. Sometimes you just have to posture yourselves with waiting, but you do it actively. Waiting is alignment with God's pace. We call it the pace of grace. How do we move at the pace of grace? How fast is that? We don't know. However fast grace happens to be at that time. God has movement. He's moving. It's not always fast. Sometimes it's slow, but we move with him and we're in alignment with his pace. God works on us before he works through us. Someone say, uh-oh. God works on us before he works through us. I've always said this for years. When something's happening, I'll say, God's working on something. I may not see what he's working on. I may not can watch the movement. I may not even understand what he's doing. But I have enough history in God to know this. He's working on something. Something is happening below the water. Something is happening behind the curtain. Something's happening behind the scene. God is working. Jesus said, my Father never stops working. Ever. So he's always moving, always working. Something is happening even when you don't perceive it. Even when you don't recognize it, God is working. But he works on us before he works through us. Some of you are sitting there going, well, he's been working on me a long time. It's okay. Maybe you've given him a hard time. I don't know. Remember this, the trip around the mountain? I mean, the Israelites. Coming out of, they get this great news. Moses gets chosen by God to be the leader. Man, miracles happen. I mean, the river turns to blood. The staff turns to a snake and back to a staff. I mean, all kinds of wild stuff. The plagues come. It's clear to Pharaoh that I need to let his people go because they're not mine anymore. And Moses is like, let my people go. And he lets them go. But once they get out into and onto the journey, man, the parting of the sea? Come on. We look at that and we think, my goodness, if I saw a miracle like that, I would never be disobedient again. Well, hello. The human part kicks in, right? And so they make it across the sea, and now they start around the mountain. And did you know that that 40-year journey was an 11-day trip? 11 days. To the promised land, and it took them 40 years. Why? Because they were not cooperating with God. They were resisting. They were not in a posture of waiting with expectation and trust. And they continued to make mistakes, and it took longer and longer. God works on us before he works through us. What's the posture? The posture is humility. The posture is humility. The posture is expectancy. Like the little kid looking in the window, waiting for dad to come home. And the posture is obedience. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I remember experiencing God, Henry Blackaby's great study. And I remember being at seminary and getting that booklet. And as I was reading it, he makes a comment. He makes a statement to the effect of, the world has really not ever known what it would be like for one man or one woman to live their lives completely sold out to God. And I've wondered about that. What would that look like for me? What if I walked in obedience? What if I walked in repentance? What if I said no? What if I said yes when I need to say yes and no? What would happen if I was in complete, absolute alignment with God? I can't even imagine. Maybe a 40-year journey would be 11 days. Amen? But it's the way we posture ourselves. Your posture in the delay determines your harvest in the destiny. Man, that line's a zinger. Your posture in the delay determines your harvest in the destiny. Are you expectant? Are you killing time? Or are you actively, eagerly waiting with hope, with expectation? Remember what hope is? Biblical hope. Confident and joyful expectation of a desired good. That's what it literally means. Are you waiting with hope and expectancy? Your posture in the delay determines your harvest in the destiny. Isaiah 30:18, listen to this. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you. Why? Because he's working on something. And therefore, he exalts himself to show mercy to you. Anyone want to be thankful for mercy? For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Let me read that last line again. And I want to invite you, as I'm inviting myself, to posture myself this way. Blessed are all those who wait for him. I don't know about you. I don't want to kill time. I don't want to waste time. I turned 64 in January. I know, shock and all, right? Some of you are like, yeah, you looking it, but bro, you know. So, but anyway, I turned 64 and you know, staring down the barrel of not a long road like it was, you know, a couple of decades ago, it gets you thinking, and I literally thought, I do not want to waste my time. I don't want to kill time. A lot of people, you know, are retiring now. The new age is 67, right? But, you know, for the follower of Jesus, in our walk with him, there is never retirement. It's refirement. I want to be refired, not retired. I want to run through the tape and finish stronger than I ever started. Don't you? Amen. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Here's the second one in this today. Discernment in the delay. Discernment in the delay. That word discernment means an understanding of what's happening around you. It's a seeing into and seeing through things. You don't just see what's apparent and on the surface. It's like if you've ever gone fishing and you had some fishing glasses. The polarized glasses are great. You know, you're standing up on the bow of a boat. You're in the shallow water. I used to do this when we lived in Brownwood. And you're in the shallow waters and you're looking. And you can't see under the water because of the glare on the lake. But you put on these glasses and it's literally like magic. You can see below the water. You can see clearly into the water because now the glare is gone. And a lot of times we're living like we're just looking into a glare. We can't see for what's going on. But there's something beyond and something behind that. And discernment gets that. Listen to this in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I know some of you will say, hey, that's my favorite verse because this is a popular verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Someone say, all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on what? Your own understanding. Well, okay. Verse 6, in all your ways, say all your ways. So we got all your heart and all your ways. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That means know him, recognize him, see him, and he will make straight your paths. So I've sometimes described our lives, as a very crooked road. Wouldn't it be nice if it was 11 miles in a straight line to the promised land? Wouldn't it be nice if it was 11, just 11 miles as a crow flies that we would be in our destiny, our destination? But life happens, amen? Things break. People break. Things go wrong. Jobs dissolve. Communities disappear. Things happen and our road, we get bent. We get knocked off our road. We get knocked off the path and it is no longer a straight line. And it can be a very crooked way. But he says, if we will do these things, trust him with all our heart, not leaning on our own, in all our ways, acknowledging him, and that could be said, in all your ways, knowing him, to know him, and he will make straight your paths. Anybody want a straighter path than you've had? Do you think it's possible? I think it is. Absolutely. Delays can be these three things. Listen to this. Delays can be protective. They can be preparational, and they can be prophetic. The protective delay, recently, I think I shared this, but I didn't hit a deer, but a deer hit me. Y'all know what I'm talking? How many of y'all have had a deer run into you? All right, it's that time of year. They're losing their minds. You know, the bucks are excited, and the does are not. So you know, it's the rut, right? They're losing their minds. And literally, you know, on a normal day or evening, you'll see deer grazing by the side of the road. No big deal, right? It's where the good grass is. But when they're in the rut, I mean, it's like Katie bar the door. They're running like crazy, right? And so I saw this deer run across the road. I just got up to speed, 71 and a half miles an hour, give or take. And I'm going right up highway speed, about to set my cruise. I see this doe blast across the road. No big deal. She's far enough down, no problem. But she turns around. And I'm thinking, surely she's not. And about the time I thought that thought, she just took off down the hill. And literally, I saw her coming at my car. I did what everybody does. I slam on my brakes. I turned the car to get an angle. And when I did, the last thing I saw was her leap through the air. She was trying to jump over my car. Now, I have an SUV, so it's not like a, you know, I'm not in a coupe or mini, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, so she jumped and she landed in my rear window, the passenger side back window. And and the sound was like a skinny boy falling on an old wooden gym floor in an empty gym. You know what I'm saying? It's like bones cracking. I mean, I could hear this poor animal hitting my vehicle. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this is going to be bad. But here's the thing. When I got to my destination, I had to be in town. I got out and looked. There was not even a scratch on my car. I could not believe it. I mean, when she hit my car, I mean, it moved the car. I felt the impact, heard the impact. And I'd seen cars. I've seen some of your cars that had been hit. And I thought, this could be really bad. Now, first of all, I was surprised she didn't come through the window. So I get out of the car, I'm at the coffee house, I'm meeting Russ, and all there is on the side of the car, it's kind of gross, is a big smear. But no scratch, no dent, no anything. Sometimes delays can be protective. Sometimes God, in his wisdom, in his ability to orchestrate events on our behalf, can orchestrate a moment where if you would have been a little bit further or a little bit further behind, it could have been a very different story. That deer could have landed in the middle of my windshield. That deer could have landed in my driver's, in the front seat, you know, in the car. Anything could have happened. Or I would have ended up at least having to call and get my insurance adjuster to come out and do all that kind of work. But no, I literally washed that car off and there's not a scratch on the car. Sometimes God's delays are protective. That's just one example. How many times have you seen a wreck on the road and you've thought to yourself, if I was a minute or two sooner, if I hadn't lost my keys and got delayed at the house when I was so upset, so frustrated, so angry, had that not have happened, I could have been in that. How many times have we been protected and maybe not even known it? And we thought the delay was God not listening. We thought that the delay was somehow my prayers aren't effective. Maybe I'm not making a difference. Maybe I don't have enough faith. And yet it could be that that delay was protecting and saving and delivering. Amen? Amen. Sometimes delays can be preparational. That means God is working on you. He is working on something. He's getting you ready for something. You need preparation. There are so many prayers as I've gotten older in faith, and I've realized I'm so glad God didn't answer that prayer. I would be in a different place today. I may not even be here. Just the connectivity of how events work, there's no telling where I would have ended up, but I'm so glad he didn't answer that prayer. Why? Because he was delaying, because something else had to happen. because it was preparational. And the last thing, sometimes delays are prophetic. In other words, God is working on something. I'm praying for something, and I'm thinking it should happen now. And God says, if I give it to you now, you will not get what I've said the promise is going to be. It'll be diminished in value. It'll be diminished in impact. He goes, I'm not here to diminish you, Jimmy. I'm here to increase you. But you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait. You're going to be patient. Posture yourself to wait. So we need discernment in the delay. Here's another statement. Discernment removes panic from the pause. You ever just felt panic because something's not, it's just not happening? It's not happening quick enough. It's not happening often enough. I mean, we get into a panic and we begin to worry. Maybe my prayers are ineffective. Maybe God doesn't care. Maybe my prayers aren't as effective as theirs because I'm not as spiritual as they are. I mean, we go into panic mode. Why? Because something's not happening. Why? Because God's working on something. His timing is true. Discernment removes panic from the pause because now I begin to go, okay, there's something else going on here. There's a delay for a good reason. And if you get nothing else out of this today, think in these terms. If there's a delay, it may not be because I don't have enough faith. It may be because God is working on something better. Maybe it's not the no. Maybe it's the not now. The last main statement in this one is, delays make sense when you discern their purpose. I love what John Eldridge does in his daily prayer. He talks a lot about this in his various teachings. But he'll just say, Jesus, what is going on here? Jesus, am I missing something here? He'll just stop and pray. Jesus, what's really happening here? He'll ask for clarity. A lot of times we don't ask for anything. We're too mad to pray. We're frustrated. We think God's not listening, so we don't even ask anything. But what would it be like if you just stopped and said, Jesus, what am I missing here? Jesus, did I turn left when I should have turned right? Did I get off track? Jesus, what's happening? What's really going on here? What is that? That's asking for discernment. That's asking to see beyond what's norm. Why? Because delays make sense when you discern their purpose. And when you know the purpose for the delay, you can rest in it and you can posture yourself in a great way. Number three, delays deepen our dependency. Delays deepen our dependency on God. Boy, if there is anything that I am guilty of, it is being a West Texan through and through. What does that mean? I can be very independent. I can be independent with friends. I can be independent with family. And sadly, I can be independent with God. Don't worry, God. I'm not going to bother you with this. I won't say that like that, but I'll just sort of, in my mind, I've got this. In my mind, I can do this. Why? Because I was raised that way. It's just part of the DNA of being a West Texan. It's like, no, we got this. You see these bootstraps? I'll pull my own up. I don't need you to put my boots on for me. I'll do it myself. And these delays begin to deepen our dependency on Him. Because God didn't call me to be independent. He wants me to be dependent on Him. 2 Corinthians 1:8-10. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church. He says, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. He was talking about his mission trip through Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves. Someone say, not on ourselves. He's saying it was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Paul said this was a terrible situation. In fact, we actually thought we were going to die. But it was for our good because it made us depend on Him. Verse 10, He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. Why? Because they had history in God. There are Sundays when we show up here, we start flipping switches on. I used to know how to turn on the sound system. I don't anymore. Probably a good thing. So switches are going on all over this building, and there are a lot of days where some things don't work. Imagine that. Glitches in computers. No way, right? Yes, it happens here. You know what? It happens more often than you think. You don't see the duct tape and baling wire that's happening back there to make all this stuff work. But it's always kind of funny, and we've gotten to where we sort of laugh about it like, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a great day. Why? Because now we can't depend on something in our ears telling us what's coming next. We can't depend on the sound to be right. We can't depend on, because something's not working. Now when that happens, we just say, oh, God, you got this. We trust you. What's the worst that can happen? Well, we unplug our guitars, and Pastor Russ leads us on an unplugged guitar. We just gather up as close as we can. Hey, they did it in the first church. We could do it, right? What's the worst that can happen? We've learned to simply depend on him and trust him. Delays detox self-reliance. I don't want to ask for a show of hands, and ladies or husbands, don't point or nudge anybody right now. Everybody be perfectly still. Don't look anyway. But do we have any self-reliant people in the room? Don't cop to it. Delays detox us from self-reliance. And if there's anybody that needs that, it's me. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I want to discern what's happening, and I want to go deeper with you. All right, teach me to be patient. Teach me to rest in you. Waiting transforms our prayers from hurry up to have your way. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. I mean, it's like, okay, I can't make it happen. I can't move this any faster. God, I'm going to lean in and trust you. So no more hurry up. God, you got this. And when you have discernment and when you have the right posture, you begin to realize, okay, God's up to something. And when it comes, it's going to be good. How do I know that? Because I have history. Never diminish, never put down your history in God. The God who came through for you will come through again. The God who spoke will speak again. The God who healed will heal again. The God who provided will provide again. Never give up. Amen? Delay reveals your dependency or lack thereof. The last point in this is delays increase intimacy and sensitivity to God's voice. I'm going to skip the next point. I'm going to go to the very end here. It's number 5. We're skipping number 4. And it's this. Expect a suddenly. These delays come and it's like, Lord, really? I prayed. I believed. I thought you were going to come through. And now, I mean, have you ever been getting down to the wire of something and you're thinking, if God doesn't show up, this isn't going to happen. By the way, that's the posture we needed from the beginning. If God doesn't show up, this isn't going to work. And we get to that place. So listen to this. In Acts 9, 3 through 6, Paul's and suddenly on the Damascus Road. Now as he went on his way, this was Saul before he became Paul, he approached Damascus and suddenly, someone say and suddenly. So he had an and suddenly moment. And suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. Paul had an and suddenly. By the way, there are many and suddenlies in the Bible. Here's what delays do. They prepare you for divine acceleration. So here's where you turn from being discouraged in the delay and the not now to getting excited about it because of your history in God. Remind you, wait a minute, God will show up. God will come through. God will answer our prayers. When our daughter went rogue and we lost touch with her, we had people come around us. We literally lost her. She was in Southern California. We're in Texas. We have no way of getting in touch with her. And we began to pray. We began to lean in. Our church came around us. they begin to pray and intercede for our daughter, we begin to call the prodigal home. We begin to believe and stand. There was a delay, though. It wasn't happening right away. We went through Thanksgiving and Christmas. No contact whatsoever. We didn't know if she was dead. We didn't know if she was alive. We didn't know anything. All we knew is we could not get our daughter. But God. And suddenly. God may take years to prepare, but minutes to perform. See these delays that are happening. When God and suddenly shows up, you think it was so bad, and it felt like forever. Anybody been waiting for God and it just feels like a really long time? Absolutely. And it feels like he's not going to, he may not even show up. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God showed up before. He showed up last time, but he did it in his way, and he did it in his timing. He may take years to prepare, but minutes to perform. He's preparing you. He's preparing you to receive the acceleration, the blessing, the harvest of your destiny. Stay faithful in the delay. God surprises in the destiny. What happened in that story, I've shared it before, but some of you weren't here, and is we had a phone number that had been given to us that we thought, well, maybe, we were told that she may be staying there or knows this person, and that's all we had. We had called several times, and it would go to an answering machine. Remember those? It would go to an actual answering machine, and we're like, maybe she's not there. Maybe she's not. And the voice that was on the answering machine didn't recognize. So one day we're in our little apartment, and literally it's like the Holy Spirit said, call Alicia now. Now I didn't hear those words, but the impression, I might as well have heard those words. I go in and find Annette. I said, what's that number? I'm supposed to call right now. And she said, well, you've already tried to call. And I said, no. Now, I can't explain it. I'm supposed to call now. And she gave me the number. I dialed the number, and she answered the phone. And suddenly, immediately, in the fullness of time, she answered the phone. And she tells this story. She said she was contemplating taking her life in that moment. And she had seen the phone caller ID. Remember that? She'd seen the phone and she saw the caller ID. And because it was us, she was so ashamed and so embarrassed by what she had done that she wouldn't answer the phone. But in that moment when the Holy Spirit said now, she picked up the phone. And I heard her voice. It had been 2+ months. We thought we'd lost her. And I said, whatever you do, do not hang up. And I began to tell her how loved she was. And all I heard on the other end of the phone was weeping. Ugly cry. Snot-nosed cry. All that pain came out at one time. Stay faithful in the delay. God surprises in the destiny. Last point here. God often brings what we need in a package we didn't expect. Can somebody say amen? We always want to tell God how to answer his prayer. Have you ever noticed we were good helpers that way? I mean, so, Lord, here's what. We don't say it like that, but we pray for something, and then we sort of suggest this would be the great way to answer it. I mean, we give him the whole thing. I mean, why does God have to do anything but zap, right? I mean, because we give him the whole plan. But no. We have to trust that whatever we're praying for, when we're in alignment with his heart, alignment with his word, alignment with his ways, alignment with his will, he's going to bring, but we have to trust his timing, but we also have to trust the answer and the way he delivers the answer. I always say it like this. God often brings what we need in a package we didn't expect or like or appreciate and at a time we couldn't foresee. I don't know. I think God has a great sense of humor, frankly. At least he does with me. The way he answers prayers for me, I just have to laugh and go, you did that on purpose, didn't you? You brought the answer through that vessel just to blow my mind. I know he does. And I've learned that in my history. So now when I pray, most of my prayers, to be truthful and transparent, most of my prayers are just giving thanks. I don't ask for a lot of stuff anymore. I'm just like, thank you, God. You're so good. Thank you, God, for your patience, for your grace, for your mercy, for your love, for your forgiveness, for your kindness. That's most of my prayers. But when I do pray for specifics, I trust his timing. I trust the vessel and the way the answer comes. Do you know that God has a million ways to get to you what you need? And it probably won't be a way you expected. And it's okay. So what do we do? He often brings us what we need in a package we didn't expect, like, or appreciate, and at a time we couldn't foresee. Expect a suddenly. Some of you got a suddenly coming. You've got an immediately about to show up. Don't give up. Don't quit. Trust the process. Trust his timing. Discern why the delay. Posture yourself to wait before him with great patience and great expectation. As we close, would you bow your heads? Father, we honor you. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for reminding us today that you are working on things, prayers we've prayed for years that are still in the works. Some of the things we ask you to do take a lot of organization, a lot of orchestration of events. Lord, give us the grace to wait. Give us the grace to discern. Give us the grace to expect. Give us the grace to posture ourselves. And give us the grace to expect an end suddenly in your timing. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to remind you, if you're here today and you've never stepped over the line to go all in with Jesus, maybe you've been watching, you've been observing, maybe you've attended a few times, but you've never actually said yes to Jesus, I want you to know something. Jesus gave his life. And let me tell you what the gospel is. The word gospel means good news. The gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died on a cross, shed his blood for you, and he did it in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving that he is the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation to anyone, to all, who will repent and believe the gospel. If you're here this morning and you've never said yes to Jesus, you've never accepted his sacrifice, his shed blood for you, that blood that he shed on a cross for you, for your sins, for your missteps, your mistakes, then let today be your day to be born again and to give your heart to Jesus. Jesus said this, that if you will testify of me, if you will talk about me and speak of me before men, I will testify and talk of you before God. He says, but if you refuse to acknowledge me before men, I will not acknowledge you before God. So I want to give you a chance to acknowledge that you've given your heart to Jesus and you want to do that today. I'm going to invite our prayer team to come up. They're going to be right up here at the front, our prayer partners. They're just here for you. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I don't need that. But what you do need to do is act on your faith. And as we close today, I'm going to invite you to come forward. If you're saying, yes, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I don't want to wait another day. I'm ready to do this. And they will be here to receive you. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that hearts will be transformed in this moment, that you're doing a work that only your grace can do. Father, for all of our friends here and watching online, give us grace in the waiting. We honor you and bless you. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's worship on the way out.
Pastor, say, Pastor. Thank you, sir.
into his courts with praise. Bring him a shout of joy. Sing of his endless fame. For the Lord is good and his love endures, and his love endures forever. We remember this. We remember this. Oh, how good that it is to sing praise to the Lord. Oh, how great.
Give him praise one more time. It's good to give him praise. As Pastor Jimmy requested, those who need to come forward, our prayer team is right here for you. Don't hesitate.